Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to bring you another portion of our prophecy series called Image of the Beast. This is the sixth week of a 10-week series which gives some insight into the concepts of the beasts of Revelation. It includes information on the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, the number 666, and also explains how these prophecies are being fulfilled, not in the coming future, but right now in these current last days. If any portion of this series interests you, please feel free to contact us and ask for the complete series. It is contained on 4 CDs and also includes the written transcript in case you would like to read it separately or follow along with the CD. Listen at the end of each program for our contact information. And by the way, this study series, like any of our material, is free for the asking. No donation is necessary. So, let's continue with part 6 of Image of the Beast. Not everything on TV or in the movies or on the internet is evil. If it was 100% evil, then no Christian would have anything to do with it, and then it wouldn't be the most deceptive tool in Satan's arsenal. But there is just enough good in the images to cause people to accept it. Sure, there is a lot of complaining about things that should be censored out, but in the end, TV, movies, and computer graphics get more and more evil each passing year. And if not the programs themselves, then the commercials alone will destroy a man's best intentions for righteousness. And yes, I know many of you may be saying to me right now that I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do know what I'm talking about. The image of the beast is here, and very few people, including Christians, realize it. They are deceived. They cannot see that the evil has permeated the whole world. Of course, if the people of earth could easily see the truth of this, then Satan's tool would not be the greatest deception in the history of the world. Neither would it be a destruction to every kind of person on the face of the earth. But most people cannot believe that just watching that which is not spiritual can destroy the work of the Holy Spirit in man. However, this is the very thing that makes the weapon so diabolical. Just think of how many Christians wouldn't ever rob a bank, cheat their neighbor, kill someone, or take part in illicit sexual conversation, let alone take part in the illicit acts themselves. But what they will do is to sit in front of the screen and watch it and listen to it. They say, "I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just watching and listening, and I don't pay any attention to the bad parts." What a joke on them. If you sit and watch, you are partaking because you are allowing the suggestion of evil to enter into you. The only way evil can exist is by the work of evil spirits. If you are watching evil, then the evil spirits are coming into you through your eyes and ears. In order to counteract the evil, you have to dispel it with goodness. It is still a battle of the mind, and the minds of people everywhere are inundated with wickedness. So, am I telling you that you can't watch TV? No, I'm not. I'm telling you that God wants to reveal the truth to His people, but His people have to be searching for it. What you do is between you and God, but what I speak is between me and God. I have to speak it, even if no one listens. My job isn't to make people listen, nor to make people see, but my job is to tell the people what God has shown me. The rest is up to God and up to you. Remember, this is a study. I teach, you study, then you do with it what you want. It's that simple. But I must warn you, there are many in the days of Jesus who could not see that God was standing right in front of them, and they could not recognize the Father through the Son. If you just automatically reject this out of hand, without making it a matter of prayer, you are on dangerous ground. And one last point along these lines. If there is a great amount of wickedness coming across all the screens of earth, don't you think this should be a sign to you that something is not quite as it should be? It's interesting that so many Christians so adamantly defend their watching of television and movies, yet admit that these things are very, very wicked. But then they always say, "But I only watch the good programs and ignore the nudity, violence, and the taking of God's name in vain." You see, the deception is great. No wonder the Bible says that the serpent was more deceptive than any beast of the field. But then, it is only by deception that most Christians would be drawn into the adamant defense of an evil thing, just so that they can be entertained. In these last days, Christians are more interested in being entertained than in getting down to the business of serving. Well, so much for that. Now, turning to Revelation 13:16-18, it says, "And he," referring to the second beast, "causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. "Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and the number is 666. I'm going to break these verses down quite a bit so that complete understanding might come through. These three verses are packed with so much information that they can easily overwhelm people with questions to the point they want to give up trying to understand. First of all, let's look at the first phrase of verse 16 where it says, "And he causes all." When the word "all" is used, it doesn't mean every person on the face of the earth, as in all the people. If it did, it would include every perfect child of God. What it is saying is that the image of the beast will cause every kind of person on the earth to receive a mark, either in their right hand or in their forehead. It will affect all kinds of people, every class of people, whether rich or poor, free or slave, high intelligence, low intelligence, doctor, lawyer, or ditch digger, etc. No person will be exempt from its deceptive power. If any person allows the influence of the image of the beast to reach their eyes and ears, they will be affected by it. This is because its power over people is not by force, but by manipulation of the mind. Anyone who watches audio and visual imagery, which gives a representation of the basic human nature of mankind, will be affected because they let the words and images of carnal man come in through their eyes and ears and into their minds. It doesn't make any difference if you're an important person or an unimportant person. The effect will be the same because the influence reaches the brain. The real damage is not by outside force, but that which is allowed to come in and bring confusion. Confusion is the automatic result of those concerned with the doctrine of Satan and the disobedience to God. It is confusion, as in the Tower of Babel, and the reason for this is that everything in this world that pertains to flesh and blood is only temporary, because it opposes all things of the Spirit of God. If you are watching the screen and see an act of murder, you will be affected. If you are watching a situation comedy on television and hear them make inappropriate sexual references, your mind must immediately process that information. If any reference is spoken and acted out in a display of the carnal nature of man, which is not specifically something that God approves of, there is a spirit of evil involved in it. If anything does not appeal to the righteousness of God, then it appeals to man's flesh nature. That's all that Satan intended the image of the beast to accomplish. He just wants the people of earth to be stimulated by the things of the flesh rather than the things of the spirit. The image of the beast is Satan's tool, that is, for the purpose of turning the mind away from the things of God and focusing on that which is the base nature of man. And once again, remember that the power of the image of the beast is not by force, but by subtlety, by deceiving, by convincing man that watching and listening is harmless, convincing them that they are not really partaking of the evil, but just watching it. But it isn't participation in the acts that is destroying the love of God within the person, but just the witnessing of the acts that allows the knowledge of evil to enter into the mind. Once the evil has penetrated the mind, the work of Satan is accomplished. He can't force people to serve him, so all he does is tempt men with his earthly nature, and the earthly nature of man does the rest. Let me take a minute here to present a concept, an example that you might see more clearly. Imagine what your response would be if a stranger came to your door and asked permission to speak to your children about murder, rape, incest, nudity, drugs, sexual immorality, etc. Suppose they told you they would be occasionally using words that used the name of God without honor, and that they also might sit before your children in skimpy attire and would generally express values and perspectives which oppose the righteousness of God. Yet they promised you they would not touch your child or do anything to force his or her attention. Suppose they said that they wanted to come in on a daily basis and just spend time with your children concerning the above-named subjects. What would be your response? I think I can safely answer that question for you. You would be appalled that anyone would attempt to do such a thing. Your response might even be one of extreme anger or fear, and you would probably slam the door in their face and then head for the phone to call the police. But then, parents allow this all the time. But the people who want to talk to your children don't come to your front door. They come into your home through television, movies, the internet, and even video games. They talk to your children and show them pictures of things that have no eternal value and things that God cannot look upon. For Scripture says that God cannot look upon sin. It's bad enough that we have to be in this world, let alone bring the world into our homes. A long time ago, God dealt with me about what was in my house. He told me that when I come into my house, it should be as my sanctuary, the place where God dwells with me and my family. He told me that I could not escape all things out there in the world, but that in my home, I could have a sanctuary unto the Lord. This is a very difficult concept for Christians today because they are so afraid to come out from among the people of the world and be separate. God showed me that Christians make excuses for going after the stimulations of natural man by quoting the scripture that says that we must be in the world, but not of the world. They claim that this means we can't possibly separate ourselves to such a great extent. But God has called His chosen ones to be a peculiar people. He has called His people to be a testimony to the things of God. He has called His people to be a light to the world. But His people are so busy entertaining themselves with things of this world, the things that pertain to man's animal nature, that they can no longer comprehend the deep hidden things of God. They only see things if they are very plain, but concepts are very difficult for Christians. That's why the Bible says things like, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me take a moment to give an example. If I asked you where the true church was in this world, I think you would probably respond that no one denomination is the true church, but that the true church is made up of people from all areas of the globe and from this denomination and that denomination and even from some churches that are not a part of any denomination. The true church is made up of God's true children, wherever they are in the world. There may be 5 in one church, 3 in another, 24 in another, and so on. Not everyone in a church is truly what they claim to be. Those who are in the kingdom of heaven make up the true church. And it's the same concept for understanding the symbolic meaning in Scripture. When the book of Joel talks about the invading army, Bible scholars try to figure out which country of the world has an army to fit the description. But the army isn't one country's army, but an army made up of forces in the world. The men of that army might be the person in the lunch line next to you, or the next desk over, or someone on the board of directors in a company. Put all these people together, and you have a force, an army that moves with spiritual weaponry rather than tanks. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Humans see in human terms, unless they get their spiritual eyes open. God sees in spiritual terms. That's why the little horn of Daniel, chapters 7 and 8, has two eyes of a man. Yet in Zechariah 3:9, Zechariah 4:10, and Revelation 5:6, scriptures refer to the 7 eyes of the stone, which is Jesus Christ, the rock, and the 7 eyes of God. And in Ezekiel 1:18, it refers to the wheels being covered with eyes. To see in the spirit realm is to understand all the things of God. Man sees with man's eyes until God gives him heavenly vision. Certainly, as it says in Proverbs 29:18, that where there is no vision or no seeing, the people perish. They perish because they cannot see the truth. And because it is the truth that sets us free, to not see is to perish. This is what Satan does with the image of the beast. And this is why people end up being designated as to who they belong to by the mark. The mark of the beast is the result brought about in great measure by the image of the beast. First, the image. Then, as people are mentally programmed to conform to the image because they love it so, then the mark follows. And here we come to the question, what is the mark of the beast? First of all, we need to talk about the concept of marking before we talk about the specific mark that comes from association with the beast. If you are following along in your Bible, notice that Revelation 13:17 shows that it isn't just a mark of the beast that can be received, but it is also referred to as the number of the beast or the name of the beast. In essence, the hand or forehead of the worshipers of the beast will receive a designation showing who or what they worship, meaning who they belong to. Who owns you is determined by who you give yourself to. If you give yourself truly to God, He owns you, and your designation will be in your forehead that you are a child of God. If you give yourself to Satan by worshiping the beast nature, your designation will be in your forehead or right hand that you are a child of the devil. Now, in order to fully comprehend a person receiving the mark of the beast, we need to take a look at some scriptures which refer to God's people receiving the mark of God. Look at Ezekiel 9:4. It says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, because of all the abominations that are done in the midst of it." Notice that this scripture makes mention of God's holy people receiving a mark of God in their foreheads. Now, look at Revelation 3:12. It says, "He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name." This scripture makes mention of God's people receiving the name of their God in their foreheads, as well as the name of the city of God. Now, look at Revelation 9:4. It says, "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which do not have the seal of God in their foreheads." This time it mentions a seal in their foreheads. Revelation 14:1 mentions 144,000 having their Father's name written in their foreheads. And Revelation 22:4 refers once again to God's name being written in the foreheads of His righteous people. What we see then is that God's people receive a mark, or the name of God, or at least some kind of designation showing that they belong to God. They are God's children, His chosen ones, and are marked as belonging to Him. In the same way, the children of Satan, those who have chosen to follow him, are marked as belonging to Satan. The mark is a designation and distinguishes who the owner is. If you have the mark of God, you belong to God. If you have the mark of the beast, you belong to Satan. The mark or name or number will either be God's mark, name, or number, or Satan's. You don't even have to look beneath the surface to know that if you end up with a mark in your forehead or right hand, which is from Satan, that you are in a whole lot of trouble. However, everyone should desire to have God's name, number, or mark in their forehead. Now, the next thing we have to look at is why God's people receive a mark only in their forehead, but Satan's people can receive the mark of ownership either in their forehead or in their right hand. Refer back to our earlier discussion of Ecclesiastes 10:2 concerning a wise man having his heart in his right hand. Remember that we discussed this in regards to the parable of giving offerings, where the left hand was not supposed to know what the right hand was doing. If you remember the discussion, the reason that the writer of Ecclesiastes said that a wise man's heart is at his right hand and a fool's heart is at his left hand is because the right hand, or dominant hand, takes things more often than the left hand. Also, remember that this means that if the right hand is assigned to care for the things of the heart, the things of the spirit man, then the heart will get fed more than the fleshly man, which represents that part of man that is concerned with the things of the world. So, if the right hand, which is taking much more often, is feeding and caring for the heart, then the heart will be strong, and the carnal man, that man of flesh, will be weaker. And here's what this implies. The man who claims to be a Christian, but takes more often of the things of the world than he takes for the things of the heart, will be deceived. He may call himself a Christian, but by feeding his carnal man more than his spirit man, he will be exposed for what he really is.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's program was a portion of the study series concerning the image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and the number 666. If you would like a copy of the complete study series, just contact us and ask for the message, Image of the Beast. It is a 4-CD series and also includes the written 50-page transcript. And as always, there is no charge for any of our material. We believe God will supply our needs as He sees fit. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.